Evening, everyone. My name is Danny. I am the campus pastor here at Mosaic at WDW, and it is my great honor to be able to speak for the third time in a very special Sunday that has become an annual rhythm of the Mosaic calendar. And this is where we talk about the concept of what it means, what it looks like to enter into spaces of justice and mercy when it comes to the lives of vulnerable children. How we are called to impact our world through these stories of vulnerable children. Now, when we speak about justice, there are so many different ways to define that word, but when we speak about justice here at Mosaic, the way that we have defined that word is when we go and we redeem unredeemed spaces. It's when we redeem unredeemed spaces because we live in a world that is marked by injustice, where there are unredeemed spaces existing everywhere, within our own hearts, within our world, within everything from governments to people groups to what's happening right here in my life and the way that I relate to other people. See, there's so many areas that we can and we should engage on mission as we redeem unredeemed spaces. And over the last 16 years, there has been a specific clarity that has been a focal point of justice for Mosaic Church, and that's in the story of caring for vulnerable children. And we see this theme recurring over and over and over again in the pages of Scripture. In fact, in James 1, chapter 1, verse 27, you may be familiar with this passage, but here's how James writes it. He is talking, a little bit of context, he is talking about the brokenness of this world and the fact that there are so many counterfeit expressions of true religion, of true ways that we relate to God. And he said, true religion, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father, is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Now there's that word visit. I did a little bit of research in Greek, and I definitely cannot and don't want to even try to pronounce that word. It's really long and really complicated. But I did find out some other synonyms or what the best translation is of that word to visit. It's not like just a one-time showing up. Like one time you made an appearance in somebody's life, and that was it. It is to do the ongoing looking after. Specifically, in two spaces in the Greco-Roman world were two very vulnerable people groups, widows and orphans, children who did not have parents. Now, here's the reality. If we're talking about being ongoingly present and looking after vulnerable children, the reality is that for each of us, we all have pretty busy lives. We all have pretty chaotic realities. If we were to say, yeah, here's another awesome thing that you should definitely add into your schedule, into your priority list, you'd probably be like, man, I already got enough going on here. Work, church, roommates, family. How can any of us make a... Then we go a little bit further. How can any of us make a legit difference in the lives of a vulnerable child if we don't have that much time to give? I remember 7 years ago hearing a message similar to this one. I was here at Mosaic Church, and I was single. I was in my early 20s. I was doing the college program over at Animal Kingdom in Custodial. And God, through the space of this gathering, began to stir in my heart care for vulnerable children, which is weird because I like kids fine, but like I'm not necessarily somebody who like immediately like drops their knees for every child that's hanging out and like just wants to go and do everything with kids. Like I like kids well enough, and they're cool, but like that I'm just not like necessarily a kids person or something. But God began stirring in my heart a desire to be involved in the lives of vulnerable children. And I had no idea what that meant. But I was left leaving the gathering with the question, what difference can I actually make? So imagine for a second. Imagine all of us together went on a nice socially distanced hike in the woods, all right? So we're all hiking and it's pretty scenic. And then we come across and there is this beautiful river. And you probably heard me use this analogy the last couple years if you had been here. And we are walking and we walk up to this river and it's gorgeous, but the river is moving pretty fast. And then all of a sudden, as we're getting closer and closer, we look and we see children in the water who are like flailing with their arms. Now, hopefully none of us are going, I hope they are having a blast. You know, like hopefully we're like, man, let's jump in the water and start helping these kids, pulling them out of the water. They, like, this looks like a bad scenario. But what if we showed up and we looked down the river and there were already kids who made it past where we were at on the river? Well, we know that it'd be great for us to get in at that point in mid-river, but it'd also be good to go downstream as well so that we can go into that space and go also help other these kids that were flailing further down the river be able to get out as well, so going downstream. But then we were like, yeah, these are both very important spaces, but it looks like these kids are not stopped coming. We better figure out where they're coming from. How are they getting in this river to begin with? And that summarizes how Mosaic Church, as a church, we have felt called to enter into the lives of vulnerable children, a holistic three-pronged approach. And here's what I mean by that. Over the last 16 years of Mosaic Church's history and story, we have been consistently called into spaces of foster care and adoption. For some, that meant actually going through the process of adopting or going through all the training that goes into spaces of foster care or safe families, any of those kind of spaces. And those were epic, wonderful spaces. And as a church, we surround those families in some incredible, meaningful ways that we'll talk about in a little bit. But about 7 years ago, we started finding all these statistics that so often what can happen with these children who were in spaces of vulnerability is oftentimes they can end up in spaces of both domestically and internationally in places of sex trafficking, child trafficking, and human trafficking. And those are big realities as well. So we started going downstream as well to find out how we could enter into these unredeemed spaces for these vulnerable children who have continued down the stream before us and others were able to affect redemption into their stories. And that took us into partnering with an organization called Love 146. And we started a Love 146 task force for Orlando. And and Love 146 is awesome. They're a nonprofit. What they do is their mission simple, to end child trafficking, period. That's it. That's what they're about. And they're for real about it. They're doing it both domestically and across the globe. It's beautiful work. So about 7 years ago, we began that journey of creating spaces like on 192 with all the hotels and motels over on 192. We do hotel and motel initiatives, bringing awareness to those hotel staff so that they'd be able to spot child and human trafficking when they were seeing it right in front of them. We do things like 5Ks and other awareness and fundraising events so that we could create support and awareness in our local community to these insane realities that are playing out both right here in our backyard and around the world. So that's downstream. But then there's upstream. We started realizing over the last few years that we need to find out how does this happen? What is the cycle that allows for children to enter into these spaces of vulnerability? And there are so many numerous stories that goes with each individual, in each story of each individual vulnerable child. But a major contributing factor is systemic and abject poverty, both domestically and around the globe. So this has since taken us into places where we are trying to learn from others who are doing these things well and partnering both locally and around the globe to enter into spaces of poverty alleviation. Now, midstream, downstream, and upstream, every one of those locations is an unredeemed space. And the desire for justice to redeem unredeemed spaces is in all of them. But here's something that is a good reality and something that sometimes I think we can forget. The desire for justice is not an exclusive desire for Christians. And what I mean by that is that there are others outside of the church who desire to enter into many of these same places. And honestly, that's a really good thing. And it's a really good thing because if it wasn't, the counter would be even more devastating. But there is something to be said when it comes to the heart motivation that goes into it for those of us who have been adopted into the forever family of God. See, for those of us who follow the way of Jesus, the call to enter into redeeming unredeemed spaces is rooted in the reality that is exactly what Jesus has already affected into our lives. That we aren't the Savior. That we are just partnering with a God whose love covers the expanse of the universe. Now in Ephesians 2, we discover much about our natural state and about the incredible character of God. And before we continue on our journey, it's important that we look at both of those realities. So if you have a Bible with you, you want to flip to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. So here's what it says. So first, Paul in this passage is going to be talking to us in our present reality, our past reality for those of us who are in the family of God. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Again, not a rosy picture of humanity, right? This isn't showing that we were averaging out at about a B minus, right? This is saying that we were in of ourselves an unredeemed space, that we were lost, that we were separated from God, that we were distant from Him in anything ultimately good. But then get this. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Amen. But God. See, in the middle of our unredemption, in the middle of our brokenness, in the middle of our chaos, in the middle of our wanting, God shows up on the story. You see, in this passage, we discover that broken reality of us, our own space of unredemption, but then we discover three very important attributes and characteristics of God the Father. One, He is just. He is justice by His very nature, and He is enacting redemption into the unredeemed spaces of life all throughout the book of Ephesians as a whole, all throughout the scriptures, but especially within this passage. So we discover that He is just and that all of His works are just by nature. But we also discover that He is gracious. Let's look back at verse 7 again. So that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. His immeasurable riches of His grace. See, the riches of the gospel are second to none. I don't always believe that. Do you? But the riches of the gospel, God's wonderful, remarkable grace, if I were to put it in terms of Disney World desserts, would go something like this. This is the best I got. Ready? It would be like if you went and God were to give you the first course, and it was Zebradoms from Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge. Like, guys, if you haven't had Zebradoms, please do. So good. And you're like chowing down on Zebradoms, like there's no tomorrow, right? And then all of a sudden, it's like, that was just the start. And then He goes over to Topolino's and He brings the next course. And it's the, I don't know what they call it there, but it's the molten chocolate lava cake. It's so good as well. You got to try it out. It's so good. And it's like unending molten chocolate lava cake over and over and over again. And you're like, oh my goodness, this is so incredible. And then right then you're starting to like, you're like, oh my goodness, this is so much. And then boom, a kitchen sink from Beaches and Cream shows up. Now, some of you might not like chocolate, in which case Disney World takes care of you too. You got your Dole Whips, you got your bread pudding over at Ohana's. There's other great things as well, for sure, but I like chocolate a lot, so my example sticks with me. And that is the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness. Never stop, never giving up kind of love. But guys, here's something to remember about grace. Grace is the reception of something you do not deserve. That's the point. It wouldn't be grace if you deserved it. That would be paying you what you're owed. But grace, the immeasurable riches of His grace, is something we could never afford. We could never deserve. If that bill came to us, we couldn't pay it. That's the grace of God. But not only is He gracious, He is also merciful. Let's go back to verse 4, right? But God, being rich in mercy. So not only is He rich in grace, He's also rich in mercy. And you see, the difference between grace and mercy is not receiving what we do deserve. So again, grace is receiving what we don't deserve. Mercy is in receive when we don't receive what we do deserve. And I get it. If you're like me, then you probably prefer to think about the ice cream that you didn't have the money to pay the bill on than the timeouts that we were warranted and we don't have to suffer in that place. But God is rich in both grace and mercy. And over all of this, He enacts justice. He is redeeming unredeemed spaces. And this is the internal reality of what Jesus is doing when He was on the cross, when He solidified through His resurrection, what He's continuing to do through the life of the church, through the power of His Spirit. He is redeeming unredeemed spaces. Think about it right now. If you are a follower of Jesus, what are the unredeemed spaces in you that He has enacted redemption? Obviously salvation, but let's think also deeper than that, more personally with that. If you are like me and you are anxious, He is speaking over you words of peace. If you are fearful, He promises safety. For those of us who are enslaved to habitual sin, He offers freedom. This is the reality of our God. His grace, His mercy, His justice on display. He is redeeming unredeemed spaces, and that's such good news. And here's why I mention that when I'm talking about and when we're talking about redeeming the unredeemed spaces in the lives of vulnerable children. Here's why this matters. Because the imperatives of the gospel lead us to the indicatives of the gospel. I didn't make up that phrase. I don't know who did. Probably a friend of mine. I don't know. But I heard it in a meeting at one point, and I thought it was so good. But let me break that down a little bit. The imperatives of the gospel lead us to the indicatives of the gospel. See, the imperatives, these are the things, the truthful realities of the gospel, what God has done and what He is doing in us. The fact that He has redeemed unredeemed spaces in our lives, it's supposed to lead us to something. The indicatives of the gospel. The call of the gospel. What it's supposed to carry us into next. It leads us to do the exact same in our world. And not with some savior mentality. Not with some, well, God needs me to do anything. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need any of us. He's God. He's got this. But He invites us in on the journey. He invites us in on the quest. He invites us in on the adventure through the difficulty, through the beauty, through the brokenness, through the muck, through the mire, through all of it. We are invited. That's good news. That's something that we could never deserve. But the guidance system on this track, the character of God serves as our guidance system, leading us down the sometimes dark paths of redeeming unredeemed spaces, where what we can know in the middle of the brokenness of life, that His grace, that His mercy, that His justice are leading us forward. And this is why James would write that pure and undefiled religion was this. This is why for us as a church, as Mosaic, why we believe that we've been called to redeem the unredeemed spaces in the lives of vulnerable children. This is why we believe that it's important that we enter into the spaces of poverty alleviation, of foster care, adoption, and human trafficking. These realities matter because the gospel does not stay stagnant. The gospel moves. The question is, will we move with the call of the gospel? 7 years ago, I mentioned this before, but when I was new to Mosaic, I remember hearing a message very much like this one. And My next step was I intended an information session. Even though, again, I was a CP working in custodial, I was single, I was in my early 20s. But what I learned there is there were so many ways to get involved. And for me, what that started with was God called me to help start the Love 146 Task Force, to help end child trafficking, period. And if that was all I went into, that would be epic. And if that's what God calls you into, that would be epic. But as my journey with Jesus and eventually my journey with my wife, Allie, we began dating and we realized that we both had this mutual understanding and this mutual call to care for vulnerable children. It bound us together as we ended up getting married. And if you were here last year, at this week, it's crazy to think about that this time last year. I was up here sharing how Allie and I were getting ready to journey to China to adopt Asher, who at that time was 2 years old, and we had never met him. We had seen him a couple times on FaceTime. And what was so interesting, though, what has happened since then is I am sometimes tempted into this line of thinking that just because we can believe God calls us into something epic and crazy, then we should somehow expect that it would come easy. Like, God, all right, I'm gonna follow you on this one. Cool. I will follow you. But if you really are in this, if you're really this strong, if you're really operating in this space, can you just clear the path and make sure the hedges are nicely trimmed along the way? But before even getting to China, we met the obstacles of two different governments and the difficulties of both of their legal systems with all types of bureaucratic red tape galore. And then right when we felt like we were about to hit the finish line in our paperwork process, we'd finally be able to hit the road to China, a virus that had sprung up in China closed down the entire country over there and threw a giant wrench into every single area of our plan. But God, finally, God made the way when it seemed like there wasn't going to be a way. And he made the way for us to get to China against all opposition in every conceivable angle. And we got there and we go into quarantine for a few weeks and it was crazy and all kinds of mayhem went and it was, yeah, it was crazy. And then I was just like doing a daydream of like, oh yeah, I remember getting off the airport. Yeah, that really was insane. But we get off the plane, everything goes crazy. And after a few weeks of being there, we're finally able to see Asher a couple days later. It's our gotcha day. And Asher's with us. And we're terrified. And we're like, we've never done this before. And he's two. The first thing we did with him was we took him to the swimming pool. Like, we've had him for 30 minutes and we didn't know what else to do, so we took him to the pool. Perfect example of a trust exercise, right? He puts one foot and he goes, what are these people doing with me? So we're with him for about a week and then we are getting ready to, we get to the airport, ready to head home, just to discover that Asher's travel documents that had no expiration date on them had expired over a month ago. And because of the complexities of our unique adoption story, we were facing the very, very, very real reality that he was never going to get to come home with us. And we were broken. But God continued to show up. Mosaic Church is a part of a church planning network called Acts 29, and we have a sister church in Shanghai called Shanghai International Bible Church through Acts 29, and this church surrounded us. We didn't know them, they didn't know us, but because we're all a part of the family of God, because we've all been adopted into his forever family, they stepped up in every conceivable way to be everything we needed whenever we needed, to be the hands and feet of Jesus to us in our story. I mean, they provided everything from bagels to apartments for us. They provided everything from translation services. They went to all these communist government offices with us for these incredibly scary meetings with a 2-year-old that wanted to run around the entire building. And you're like, this is insane. They went and translated for us. They translated documents for us. They were ready to fly to Beijing if we needed to go. They were like on board with us, heart and soul. Not only that, though, we were able to go and worship with them and do life with them. We had dinner at somebody else's house like 4 to 5 nights a week for 2 months straight while we were stuck in China. And not only that, we were able to grieve and cry out to God in the midst of it with this new family. We're able to celebrate with them through the beauty and the brokenness. We're able to go to Shanghai Disneyland with some of them. We went hardcore into the depths of life with them. And then God opened the door. God opened the door and made the impossible possible. And we were able to see the wheels lift up on the plane as we headed back to the United States with Asher. If you haven't had a chance to meet Asher yet, spoiler alert, he's the best. He's so cool.
I love that kid.
Thank you, me too. And it would be so awesome if I could stand up here and tell you that Allie and I were so brave throughout it all, that we were so filled with faith. The truth is, we didn't know if he was coming home with us. We were talking about the friends that were there with us, and we're like, what if they're supposed to adopt him, not us? We were like, I don't know how this story goes. We were falling apart. And if we were doing all this based on conventional wisdom or our own sense of self-righteousness or our own savior mentality, we would have never gotten on the plane to get there in the first place. But God. Because God is merciful, because he is gracious, because he is in the business of redeeming unredeemed spaces, we followed his lead even when we could not see, even when we didn't know the outcome. And he supported us through his family while we were there, and he has since supported us through this family since we've been back. In fact, even while we were there, God was providing for us through y'all, such as my friends Betsy and Connor. Other fun part of our story that I haven't mentioned so far, most of you guys probably know this by now, but Allie was pregnant when we were in Shanghai, and she was getting more and more pregnant over the course of 2 months. And the airline, the only airline that was flying a direct flight from all of the nation of China, was flying it once a week from Shanghai to New York. And they didn't want the liability of a pregnant woman on their plane. So Betsy goes to Allie's doctor and gets them to print out every single potential document that they could ever want to show that she was having a healthy pregnancy, getting it stamped and double stamped and triple stamped. All of this overnighted to Shanghai so that we would have a shot at getting Allie on that flight. But here's something, even just like cherry on top of how awesome the Spirit uses Betsy. As then a few days later, she shows up back to that doctor's office with some treats to say thank you to them for helping us. And then I got my friend Katie. Katie agreed to stay at our house for like 2.5 weeks or whatever to watch our dog. She stayed there for 2 months with our dog, taking care of our home and our dog so that Duffy would have a loyal companion with him through the entirety of the shutdown here in Florida. But God. And then, and those are just a couple of, I could go on and on, but I definitely don't have time for that. But to sum up the entirety of all the care we had what is called a care community. And our care community surrounded us. They surrounded us in so many ways. They provided meals for us. They came and babysat for Allie and I. They even cleaned our house and installed baby gates and even changed the filters on our fridge while we were en route over the Arctic. Pretty cool. This, it kind of reminds me of what Jesus said, right? That they will know that you are my followers by your love for one another. And so often we can get, the church deservedly oftentimes gets a bad rap for not being known for love for one another, but sometimes we do get it right. Sometimes we do follow the Spirit of God into these spaces and demonstrate genuine love and care for one another. Now, right now in our Mosaic Adoption Foster Care Ministry, there are 70 people who are serving actively in these care communities. And here's the deal. I don't know what God is calling you into. Maybe he is calling you into poverty alleviation, to fight human trafficking, or to begin the journey of fostering or adopting. I don't know. Now, here's the thing that I don't want to happen. I don't want you to think that your life must reach some certain level, that you have to have all the right checkboxes marked off before you can enter into whatever space the Spirit of God might direct and lead you into. Instead, what I'd ask you to, instead of telling God what the variables, what the barriers are, ask him, God, what would you call me into? And go from there. Maybe you should prayerfully consider if you and a friend may be called together to step into supporting a fostering or adopting family by joining a care community. Shoot, maybe it's Allie and I's care community, or maybe it's one over at our Winter Garden campus, or maybe it's some other family in this space, or some other individual who is called to step into spaces of foster care adoption here in our campus. I don't know. But what I do know is that when you are the tangible feet of Jesus, when you are the tangible hands of Jesus, when we are coming together to demonstrate love for one another, it's beautiful. And care communities are such a beautiful and wonderful way to do that. It's not 30 hours a month. It's the occasional meal. It's being flexible to send text messages of encouragement or prayer. It's coming over to babysit from time to time. It's customized around the unique needs of each individual family. So again, I don't know what God might be calling you into, but here's what I do know. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are called to enter into the spaces of redeeming unredeemed spaces. That's what I do know. The question is how? Now, there is a very easy way for you to start your journey of finding out more information. So I'm going to, there are two different types of people in this room right now. There are those who are actively serving in one of the areas I have mentioned tonight. And there are those of us who have not stepped into serving in one of these areas. And so here's what I'd ask you to do. If you don't mind, would you pull out your cell phone right now with me? And then go to thisismosaic.org. Relax. If you're like, yeah, I'm definitely not feeling this thing, I'm not doing whatever he's about to ask, you can just pull out your phone and then you look like you're doing it anyway. It's totally fine either way. And if you're online, pull out your phone. So go ahead and pull out your phone, go to thisismosaic.org. And what I want you to do is scroll down so you see this image. It's going to say Justice and Mercy, get involved and be equipped. Click on that link. Now, there are going to be two links that you're going to see. One says get involved and the other says I am involved. The get involved tab is for anyone who is currently not involved in any of these spaces. And here's what's going to happen if you click that tab and you fill out the quick form that goes with it. All that's going to happen is you are going to be contacted, not a ton, just to start the initial contact for information. It's not a commitment to anything, just a commitment to finding out more information of what God might be calling you into, okay? So if you're not involved, press get involved. If you are already involved in one of these spaces, press I am involved. If you're already in the mix, this is going to help us know how we're doing as a church to support you and to support whatever God is calling you into this. It's going to allow us to best come alongside you continually in whatever God is calling you to. Also, side treat is that two of my friends, Melanie and Lauren, are both here tonight, and they serve as a part of the Mosaic mission team on staff, and they can answer any or a majority of your questions probably in any of these areas, whether it is Love 146 Task Force, whether it is poverty alleviation, or whether it is foster care and adoption spaces as well. So you can talk with them. They're going to be hanging out by the Love God, Love People, Serve the World sign on the left as you are leaving tonight, or my left, your right. So you can talk with them about whatever God is calling you into. So I'll close with this. Isn't it so good that there's a but God? Isn't that such good news? That in the middle of the brokenness of our lives, that it doesn't have to stay there, that when we feel so broken, so messy, when it feels like all that we can do is succumb to hopelessness. There is a but God, that he is rich in mercy, that he has immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness, that his justice knows no bounds. This is what Jesus has done. And this is what we now get to partner with him on. I'm going to go ahead and invite the band to come on up. Tonight, I had been spending time a few hours ago walking around the room, just praying that God would be doing some incredible stuff in this place tonight. I don't know what he's going to do. Maybe he's calling you into fostering. Maybe he's calling you into being a part of a care community. Maybe he's calling you to be a part of our initiatives in poverty alleviation. I don't know. But what I do know is that we together can do more than we could ever imagine apart. This is what it looks like to be the church. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you that we are a part of your family, that we know that apart from you, we can do nothing, but with you, you invite us on epic, crazy stories. God, I thank you for Asher. I thank you for all that you have done to allow him to be a part of our forever family. God, it's an honor that Allie and I could have never deserved, yet you called us to be a part of his story. You called this church to be a part of our story, his story, your story. God, I thank you. I thank you for your love, for your kindness, for your mercy and grace. I thank you that you don't give up on us. So Lord, I pray that we wouldn't give up on this world, that we wouldn't give up, that we wouldn't lose hope, no matter how difficult this world seems, no matter how much it feels like it just beats down on us sometimes. Yeah, Lord, we need you more than we know. So thank you for sending Jesus, the one who has come to do more than we could ever dare ask for or imagine. And Lord, it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.